Psalm 40, let's look there for just a few minutes here tonight. This is one of my favorite psalms. Many of the psalms are psalms of David. They're not all psalms of David. This one is. And it is, the psalms are really, they were literally used as songs for temple worship. This is one, you notice at the top of your Bible, the chapter there, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. That's what it says in the Thompson chain. Says at the top of the chapter. So this was one of the songs of David. And a song, usually a song, especially a spiritual song, a godly song, it is a song that glorifies God. It tells, many times it tells about some of his nature, his character, his attributes, or maybe tells about something that he has done, how he has worked. And so a song many times is like a testimony unto the Lord, a praise unto the Lord. So David is talking about a time, an instant in his life when he was in a pit, not necessarily physically in a pit, but that's how he describes his circumstance here in Psalm 40. I was in a horrible pit, a horrible pit. And so let's read the first five verses of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Praise God. Amen. But it starts with the first verse, the first phrase. It starts with what God has done. Just the brief outline of what God has done. I waited on the Lord. I waited. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Praise God. Waiting on the Lord is one of the most difficult things to do. If you're an impatient person, then we often pray and we want God to work things in our time and our plan, our schedule. But this phrase here, I waited patiently for the Lord, from the Hebrew, it's a phrase that really says, I waited, I waited, I waited, I waited, I waited. Have you ever been in that kind of a predicament where you asked God, you cried out to God, and you waited and you waited and you waited, and you did not see the Lord work? Certainly not in the time that you asked him to do. He was continually waiting and expecting that God was going to rescue him, but there was a long span of time from the time he asked the Lord and the time that God came through for him. Amen. One of the things that happens in all of our experiences with the Lord is that we understand that God is sovereign and that God works in our life in his own good time. And many times there are answers to prayer that are not yes. Sometimes it does. The answer to prayer is wait. Wait on my timing, wait on my purpose. Luke 21 and 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. It just means that by persevering in prayer and in the midst of a trying situation, as you wait upon the Lord, it's in the process of it all that you're saved. Your soul is saved, your life is saved, or you're saved from that circumstance because you have put your trust in the Lord. sometimes in waiting patiently before the Lord, God is building things and doing things that you can't even imagine. You don't know. You don't see any good that could come out of having to wait on the Lord. Waiting might be days, it sometimes is weeks, and sometimes is months and years. That sometimes people pray and ask God and they wait on Him, and you wonder, Lord, why are you not working? Why are you not answering my prayer? But as you learn in this time, as patience is built into your heart and into your soul, you recognize that God is doing some things in you that you cannot know about or even imagine. So you trust Him. You trust God, even though you don't understand. You trust God, and you put it in His hands because you know He does everything right. One of the things that's impressed upon me as I was speaking in the memorial service with Sister Arzona was all of the questions that come to mind. And I said, she is their piano player. She is so important for their ministry. And I can think of a lot of reasons why that she should have been healed so their ministry could go on. But that's only held to my limitations of what I could know or about the situation. And God, who knows everything about the situation, chose to do things some other way. And when that time comes in your life, then you just have to conclude, as a child of God, God can be trusted. Amen. He's trustworthy. Amen. God can be trusted to do what's right. He can be trusted to do what's good for you. He can be trusted to do what will bring glory to His name. God is trustworthy, and we trust Him, and we wait patiently. And even in the process of our waiting, God is working. I remember Brother Royce Roy, many years ago when he was in Sierra Leone, West Africa, as a missionary, one of the projects that they were working on was a Bible school, building a building. And so he didn't have the funds to build the building, but what he did have was they knew how to build the bricks out of the mud and, you know, straw, different things that they would mix together, and then they would cure them out in the sun. And so they did what they could, and they made the bricks, they set them out in the sun, and I don't remember how long, but it seemed like it was maybe several years, 2 or 3 years or more years that went by, and they set out there, and they cured in the sun, and those blocks got perfectly cured and hard and perfect, so that building, when it was built, he said he was impatient, he wanted it built, but it was the strongest building that could be, that you could ever imagine to be built out of that kind of a block, because in the process of the time, the sun had cured those blocks and hardened those so that they were good quality for the building. So the sun and the time, the waiting, when God was ready for the building to be built, then He supplied the finances to go on with the rest of the project, to purchase the land and to hire the workers and all the other things that needed to be done. But God used that span of years to make those blocks what they needed to be. It's a perfect illustration of what God is doing during the delay. How God is working. How His timing is perfect. And how, yes, does He hear you when you cry, Amy? He does. He hears, but it might not be today. It might be a few days. Sometimes it's weeks, months, and years. But you just trust God. You know He's the one that will take care of you. He hears you. And He's not, you know, He doesn't have selective hearing, does He? Amen. Have you ever been accused of having selective hearing? You hear what you want to hear. Or some of you wives, you probably think your husband, he only hears what he wants to hear. The things that I tell him to do or I ask him to do or whatever, and somehow he's able to, it's just, he don't hear all those things. But the things that he wants to hear, he hears. Hopefully we're not afflicted with selective hearing, but God isn't. God heard from the very beginning. God doesn't ignore you. God's very much involved. He says he hears the cry of his people. He heard your cry. He heard your prayer. And that's what the psalmist says here. And that's what he's singing about. He's singing about the fact that he said, I waited for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Amen. He came, he inclined to me. He came to where I was. Where was I at? He said, I was in a horrible pit. A couple of people in the scripture, and there may be others that didn't come to mind, but I remember Joseph being put in a pit because his brothers were so jealous of him and hated him. And so they put him in a pit, and he cried out for deliverance from his brethren. And they didn't deliver him in that terrible place of fear and the darkness and the horribleness of the situation. Jeremiah, he was thrown into a pit. He was actually let down into the pit. He had been, he had told the king the truth, and then he was committed to prison. And from the prison, he wasn't just in the courtyard of the prison, but while he's there, some of the men, the keepers of the prison or the jail, whatever you want to call it, they decided to let him down into a pit in the middle of that courtyard of the prison. And it was dark, and the scripture says that it was a miry place, that he was let down into the darkness and the hopelessness of that, and he's sinking. He's just sinking down into the miry mud of that situation. And at the time that Jeremiah is put in that predicament, the Bible says there's no bread left in all the city. Everybody who's out and free and can search for food, they can't even find food. But here he is, he's in prison, and he's been put down in this deep pit. And God delivers him from that situation. It takes 30 men to pull him out of that mucky, miry, terrible, terrible place. And that's the kind of thing that David is talking about. It was a deep, terrible, like a cavern-type pit. And a place where there's no hope of being rescued. You can't get out and you can't free yourself from the mire. And David said, and of course this is a wonderful example of our salvation, but it's also an example to you and me of our trials and troubles that sometimes we go through that we cannot seem to deliver ourselves from it. Amen. But remember, this is a song. He's singing about this now. He's singing about it in the temple now because of what God has done and how that God has worked in this situation. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. I mean, to be let down in the darkness of that depths of that horrible pit, and then for there not to be anything solid to stand on, that you're just sinking, and every movement that you make, you're sinking deeper and deeper into the mire. Like I said, in Jeremiah 38, it took 30 men to get Jeremiah out of that mud pit, that place that he was at. No hope of delivering yourself. No hope of ever getting out of it. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Amen. Can you imagine the deliverance? Finally, I can stand on solid ground. Now that's the shape you're in before you're saved. You're sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into hopelessness. And it can be people who are going through trials and, you know, deep, dark, difficult, trying situations that you're asking the Lord for deliverance, and you wait and you wait and you wait, and it doesn't seem like that God is moving. But this is a song for those who don't give up. This is a song for those who recognize that God can deliver out of the depth of that miry clay, pull them out, and put them once again on solid footing. And not only solid footing, it says, and he established my goings. Or he began to enable me to walk on solid ground and do and go where I needed to go, to walk in a safe direction and to do what he wanted me to do, to be free of danger and fear, set free. Praise God. Amen. He brought me up. He put me on solid ground. He established my goings, and he has put a new song in my mouth. It's a new song because if he hadn't gone through the pit experience, he wouldn't know how to sing that song. It's a new song. You learn the new song when you go through the trial, when you come out on the other side of it. It's not some old familiar song. It's a new song. It's something new that God has done for you. Now you're singing about the fact that God brought me out of the pit. He brought me out of the miry clay. He brought me through this trial that I was stuck in. I couldn't seem to get out of this situation. But God has brought me up. Now it's a new song. There's certain new things that you learn about God and his faithfulness when you go through times of waiting and through times of crying out to God and wondering, Lord, where are you and why haven't you delivered me? But in the midst of the whole process of that, you learn things. You even learn a new song that you couldn't have sung before. This is the one that's now committed to temple worship. And he says, I'm going to paraphrase. He says here to the chief musician, let's sing this one now. I went through this horrible situation. I went through this circumstance. I never thought I'd ever be able to get out of it. But God pulled me out of it. He put me on solid footing. Now I'm walking in the direction that he wants me to go. He's established my goings. And he put in my heart a new song. Amen. Even praise unto our God. The longer you serve the Lord, the more you realize that God uses our adversities, our troubles, our trials. He uses those to build things in us that we would never, ever get in us. We would never learn. We learn lessons through trials and through fiery circumstances that we would never. We go through trouble. We go through fears. We go through suffering and difficulties. And it was Tozer who said, it's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Wow. That's a profound statement. It's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. And you just read the stories in the scripture. Every one of the great men and women of God, they have a story to tell that's recorded in scripture. And they went through sorrow and through trouble. They were in deep, dark pits of hopelessness. But God brought them out of that. He brought them out of that. So we learn things in our suffering. Christ, the scripture says, learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He learned. We learn. We go through times where we're saying, God, why? Why aren't you moving in this situation? Why aren't you helping in this situation? And you do, and you sing that song and say, I waited and 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 I didn't see you break through for me. Did God hear you the first time you cried out to him? Absolutely. Amen. Has he failed you? No. No, he never fails. He is trustworthy. He knows what he is doing. He is working for your good. The disciples would have never met the master of the storm if they had not gone through the storm. Amen. They would have never known that he could stand up and say, peace be still to the waves. And suddenly, calm comes. They met Jesus. That was when they back up and they say, who art thou, Lord? We're afraid of you now. We're afraid of you now because of who you are and this display of your mighty power. But they would have never realized that power had they not gone through the storm. Amen. Amen. Many times, our testimony comes from a test. Our testimony is the result of God pulling us, inclining to where we are after he's heard our cry, pulling us up out of that horrible pit. We can't help ourselves. We can't free ourselves. We can't do anything about it. He pulls us up out of that, and then he sets us on a solid footing, and he shows us where and what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go. Praise God. Amen. What a blessing it is. He's put a new song in my mouth, one you would never have known before. Amen. All those thousands of hymns, I think it's something like 7,000. 6,000 or maybe 8,000 hymns that came out of the life and the ministry of Fanny Crosby, who was blinded as a little infant child. And all of those hymns poured out of her sorrow, poured out of her suffering, poured out of her situation that she was in. Could God have delivered her? He could have, but he did not. We know that God can, but God works in amazing ways. And she was able then to minister to the body of Christ and still does. And so her song would probably have never been sung had it not been for her trial and her test. Amen. I guess that's why I love the writings so much of Elizabeth Elliot, because all through her writings, all through her speaking, you feel the experience of her walk with God and her going through all of those trying and difficult times. And it has an impact upon your life. It touches you. Almost all ministry pours out of our trouble, pours out of our sorrow, pours out of our difficulties. Amen. Amen. But now, after the trial, after he's out of that pit, then he introduces it to the temple and says, he hands it over to the chief musician and said, here's a new song we can sing now. This is the one. It's after the fact. It's after the fact. God broke through for me. God moved for me. God delivered me. He brought me out of this situation. Now let's sing about it. Let's glorify the Lord. Amen. That's what he says. He said, he's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. This is the power of a testimony. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Amen. He's trustworthy. Are you wondering what's going on? Do you have situations now that you can't deliver yourself from? You're in a horrible pit. Well, he heard your cry the first time you cried. Amen. He heard your prayer the first time. Right now, you're in this little holding pattern, this little waiting time right now. And I don't know how long it is, but I do know that God can be trusted. He can be trusted. You can trust the Lord. Amen. And your circumstance will be a future song of and a testimony of the glory of God. Many shall see it and hear it and trust in the Lord. Amen. Because they see the hand of the Lord in your life and his faithfulness in your life. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you can pick us up, pull us up out of a horrible pit, stuck in the mire of some trying situation that we cannot deliver ourselves from. But thank you, Lord, that you know how to free us from that. And in your good timing and your good purpose, we know that you will. Thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy, you are dependable. And I ask, Lord, that those here in this prayer service tonight that are praying that prayer right now, Lord, deliver me from my trial. Lord, deliver me from this situation, that you'll be encouraged tonight to know God's at work. He's working. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that's shown in our lives. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.